This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And joining us is Mr. Jeff Veakin of NASA, specifically the X-57 project.
The X-57. This is a unique X-plane that these gentlemen are working on.
Yep, all electric and lots of motors.
Yes, it is.
Now, we were reading your description, your synopsis, and you're talking about to prove that this distributed motor design can increase efficiency of the aircraft.
Well, the way we want to increase the efficiency is for decades people have been trying to decrease the wetted area to make airplanes go faster. And one of the things that we're doing is trying to integrate a new electric propulsion technology into the airframe design to reduce the wing area and the overall wetted area, reduce the cruise drag, and hopefully with that electric system we can get the effective wing lift back with a smaller wing.
Okay, because you're augmenting lift with all that extra thrust.
Yes, and when you look at the X-57, it looks there's a lot of props on it. It sort of looks like if one prop is good, more must be better.
Yeah.
But really, they have different functions. The cruise props, the cruise thrust props, have been moved to the wingtips to help reduce the induced drag of the smaller wing. The 12 distributed props are only on during takeoff and landing to help augment the lift. They're efficient for the thrust or for the lift generation at low speeds, but they're not good thrust generators at cruise. So the props fold back along the nacelles at cruise, and we only have two props running for most of the mission.
Okay, what about the weight penalty of carrying 12 motors that don't do anything in cruise?
Well, you have to remember that this is a technology demonstrator.
Okay.
And going to electric, we're suffering a weight penalty just putting in the batteries. Overall, right now in the configuration, we're changing about 625 pounds of internal combustion motors and gas for about 1,100 pounds of batteries and electric motors. This is a technology demonstrator. We need to prove that everything works. Once we prove everything works, then we can start to try and optimize things like the weight. And there's a lot of instrumentation in for the research effort that's weight that wouldn't be there in another airplane or a production airplane.
Well, that could, you know, that's the passenger simulation weight.
Yeah,
yeah, passenger and cargo. Yeah. It's an interesting concept. I like the fact that you have multiple motors on this, which means that if one of them decides to pack it in, you can still just keep right on cruising. You know, you'll have the dreaded, 13-engine landing,
yeah.
You know?
Well, again, the motors are for different purposes. The thrust generators over the wing, there are multiple ones that you can lose certain ones out without losing significant amount of lift. But the cruise thrusters at the wingtips, it is something that we'd have to deal with a production airplane. In an engine out situation with a cruise thruster with a full thrust, the tail cannot keep the airplane straight right now.
But being as they're electric motors, and it's obviously it is a fly-by-wire system, so automatic thrust monitoring could automatically cut
we've
the
already got
engine
that.
Or whatever.
We,
yeah.
We already are incorporating something we call an anti-symmetric thrust inhibitor, where if we lose thrust in one engine, it automatically decreases the thrust in the other engine.
Right.
Well, now here's another question. The electric motors and propellers that you're using here, I imagine the props are special designed. What about the electric motors? Are these off-the-shelf units? Or
The cruise props are MT props, and we bought them. They're production props. The high lift props are specially designed to generate, actually for the high lift, they're not optimized for thrust. They're optimized to increase the speed of the flow over the wing. You can almost think of them like a house fan.
Okay.
It blows a lot of air, but not an efficient thrust generator.
Hmm.
Motors are all specially designed for this aircraft because there's not off-the-shelf motors. Joby's designing the cruise motors, and right now the person under contract is Zone 5 to develop the high lift motors.
Okay. With the motors mounted under the wing, you don't get all of that air on the top of the wing.
You know,
where
it's kind of amazing because we had a ground demonstration on a truck test where the motors were centered over the leading edge of the wing. And that actually disrupted the flow over the wing. Then later on, when we started to do a CFD study, we did a vertical sensitivity study of the motors. And the location that we have seems to be about optimum for the lift for this configuration, slightly ahead and slightly below the leading edge of the wing.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's kind of counterintuitive.
Well, it is kind of counterintuitive, yeah. But that's the way that the analysis worked out.
You don't get the full spiral slipstream.
You know, like
the racing boats run with the prop half out of the water kind of thing.
I mean, the augmented lift is sort of a Q increase or a dynamic pressure increase over the original wing lift. With the motor centered right on the leading edge of the wing, you disrupt all the natural lift of the wing with that. Now with the nacelles below the wing, you have a nice smooth leading edge all across the span to generate wing lift.
So, now that's different than hanging a plane on its prop, though.
Yes, it's different than hanging a plane. I mean, we use the thrust to generate dynamic pressure over the wing.
Right.
It's not a thrust vectoring type thing.
Right, it's the increased airflow that increases the lift, not the fact that the engine's pointed straight up.
You know, it's kind of like the systems that they've used on a couple of prototype aircraft where they take a jet engine and they're blowing the exhaust over the top of the wing.
Exactly. There were some systems in the 70s, both upper surface and lower surface blowing. I mean, they used jet engines, and with the jet engine, you can get a significant thrust deflection. With propellers, the thrust is a lot smaller, and so we're just looking at a dynamic pressure increase for our advantages.
The thing that comes to mind is the Culver channel wing.
Yep.
You're really going backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a major step back.
Yeah.
How far along is the project? Are you flying yet, or are you still working on the airframe?
We haven't flown the configuration yet. We have some series of steps we call mods where we're going to put the electric motors on the original Technum aircraft in that location and sort of prove out the electric propulsion system. That will probably fly in spring of next year. The whole distributed lift with the wing, with the smaller wing, the new X-57 wing has been fabricated. We're in the process. It's a GVT, or ground vibration test, has just been finished, and we're tuning the finite element model with those results. And next month in August, we plan to do our proof loads test to prove that the structure can take the loads cases. And then when this Mod 2 that's ringing out the electric system is done testing, we'll install the new X-57 wing and then fly it as the final X-57 configuration.
Okay, so the first phase, you're actually using the original wing.
You're actually using the original airplane
with
batteries in the cabin and then the electric motors on. Since the electric motor and batteries are completely developed as a new project, we wanted to try and troubleshoot them on an existing airframe before we troubleshot the whole new concept at once.
Okay. This is kind of I don't know if this is something you guys have thought about. You got all these motors. Are you going to synchronize them for speed? Are you concerned with getting into some strange vibration modes and resonances?
That hasn't really been brought up, needing to do that. The only reason that was brought up before was maybe with acoustics, to try and synchronize them for acoustics. But that's a little bit down the road in the testing. We just want to prove the performance of it.
Right, you'll find out about it.
We'll definitely find out about it. But we have to prove that the performance and the aerodynamics work first before we can move farther forward with the project.
I'm sure you'll have enough sensors on board that if you have a problem with prop synchronization where it sets up any kind of vibration, your sensors will pick it up and your engineers will look at it and say, whoa.
Yeah. Well, we have sensors to monitor that. I don't know if we have an active control system to set them. I mean, we can set them through the data system, but there's not a monitoring system that automatically does that right now.
Right, right. The high-tech monitoring system is the pilot going, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
That's not a good day.
No, it isn't. Not at all.
So you're hoping to fly next year?
With the Mod 2,
with the original wing and only the two cruise motors.
Cruise motors, that's
correct. So that's going to be a longer takeoff.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, actually, it's the original Technum airplane, so it's about the same performance. But we'll see how the timing works out in the schedule. We had envisioned an intermediate stage where we put this new smaller wing on, just the cruise motors on the tips, and then develop the distributed propulsion system. And, yes, the stall speed goes up on the cruise wing and the smaller wing. The stall speed with no flap is about 89 knots.
That's still pretty slow.
compared to a jet, maybe, yeah, but not compared to a G airplane.
Yeah.
And then with the flap system unpowered, the stall speed's about 73. And then with a full distributed electric propulsion system, we project that we can get the stall speed down to 58 knots, which is equivalent to the original Technam aircraft.
Right. Wow. You've got test pilots. I'm assuming they're already involved in the program.
Yes, we have two test pilots at NASA Armstrong that have been involved from the start of the program.
What is their opinion of electric powered flight in general? I mean, they're all for it, I'm sure, but I'm sure they've expressed reservations here or there.
Well, we have developed a simulation through the process, and we're running more and more advanced CFD models to update that simulation, and they're wringing out the characteristics of the simulator. Obviously, with a smaller wing, it's not going to be an aerodynamic airplane. It's going to be an airplane that you cruise, so you've got to be aware of getting slow now and a lot of other aspects, and with the two wingtip propulsors, we have to deal with that. So the pilots are ringing it out in the simulator and then giving us feedback about that.
Where would you go to find out more information about the X-57?
NASA has a website with some technical publications. You can Google X-57, and that comes right up. And then there's some information on the general NASA website about X-57.
All right. I want to thank you for joining us, Jeff. We've been speaking with Sir Jeff Veakin of NASA about the electric X-57. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm all charged up and Fast Eddie.
This is EAA Radio.